Let's take our Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Good to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Appreciate the Lord bringing us all safely this way this evening. As we look in Colossians chapter 2, we move into this chapter. We were in the deeper life in Christ. In chapter 1, we get to chapter 2, which deals with the higher life in Christ. And the Bible says in verse number 9 of chapter 2, which is the key verse of this chapter, says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And we'll get to that verse in the next service or two and start looking at that word Godhead and seeing what that is and what that means in the Bible and things. 23 verses, 503 words, this chapter, a 12th grade reading level chapter. It has dealt with in this chapter, there's two parts. The first part is the first seven verses, which deals with the Lord of believers. And then the last part of this chapter, he deals with the legalism of believers. And we'll cover all that in detail. As we look in verse number 1, chapter 2, verse 1 says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." As we get to the Word of God tonight in Colossians chapter 2, I want to preach to you tonight on it's time to get closer. It's time to get closer. I've heard all these little cute little sayings that people say, if you wasn't as close to God as you used to be, you're the one that's moved. Well, I got news for everybody. We've all moved, so it's time to get closer. Revival in a church is when everybody gets close. And tonight I hope we'll be able to look at the Word of God and take this thing in to where it'll help us to get closer to Jesus Christ. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we pray, God, that you'll move and do a great work and help us tonight, Lord, through the Word of God, Lord. I pray, God, as you bless the reading of this book tonight as we've read it, God, that you'll open our understanding according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, tonight that you'll just teach us this book tonight. Help us word upon word and line upon line and precept upon precept. God, that you'll help me to preach tonight according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. To preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we love you and we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight, if we're going to get closer to the Lord, we're going to have several elements that Paul wrote about in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, that will help us in growing closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. If you look down in verse number 1, we see number 1 element is it takes connection. He says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you," and it says, "and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as not seen my face in the flesh." And what Paul has for these two churches is simply this. For Colossae, due to the content of what he's wrote here, we find a church that's attacked by legalism and philosophy and things like that. And he has a burden for them that he's trying to reach them. And that's why this book primarily deals with Christ as the head of the church. Because obviously somebody tried to come in and say otherwise. If you listen to people, when they talk, everybody's got an opinion on everything. Say amen right there. Sometimes they have a good opinion, and sometimes they have a not so good opinion. And sometimes they're so far out of the ballpark, they're not even in the parking lot where they can hear the game being played. But when we get to this thing about connection, we don't want to be so far away from the church that we can't get connected to it. And Paul stayed in touch with these churches so he could be in connection with them. And he knew that the prevailing problem there at Colossae, he had a pastor visit him and really outline the thing for him and told him what was going on. And he wrote this epistle to the Colossians to try to help those people back. But I notice he also mentions another church in here, and that's Laodicea. It wasn't attacked by legalism. If you go read Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea was attacked by liberalism. And that church over there, listen, they were out of touch with reality because of apostasy. And when churches get like that, it's debated on whether or not they can be helped or not. Some of them probably have Ichabod wrote on the door and we don't even know about it. But I do know this. The only way to fight liberalism is to take this book right here and preach it word for word to them and let God straighten the thing out. I do know this. I've been in places where they all were sitting there with their arms all folded up like this and bless me if you can, and we ain't going to listen to King James Bible preaching. So by the time we get through with the message, they're in the altar begging God to help them out. See, people make these straw men up of somebody that's, well, he's King James and he's mean. And they say it so much they begin to believe it. Then you go preach in their church or preach at a funeral in their church, you know what they do? They say, oh, dear God, I want to get back to the old time way. What happened to them? God got to them. And I don't mean the old time way as opposed to modern music. I mean the old time way where we get back in this book, shed tears for sinners, and thank God for his holiness, and we praise his holy name. See, a lot of people's lost touch with that thing. They forgot who God was. They think they're God now. Their opinion goes higher than the Word of God. But when we get back to this book and we see that thing that Paul had, he was connected with these churches. Can I make a statement tonight? To fix the problem, you must know the problem. And there's no way he could help either Colossae or Laodicea if he did not know the problem they were in at that moment. Listen, when you come to a place in your life where you think you've got everything figured out, you probably don't know anything. But when you come to a place where you're willing to help and do anything, you'll find whatever it is and you'll go after it and try to fix it. I've had people tell me over the years, well, if I was in such and such church, I'd preach on these topics and get the thing back in line. I found this out. Preaching the way we're looking at tonight, going word for word with each verse, I found this out. You do it that way, God will take care of it. He knows what all the problems are, and he wrote this book specifically to take care of that. There's some that needs to be reproved. There's some that needs to be rebuked. There's some that need to be exhorted. And God does every one of those things through the Scripture. All he needs is a willing vessel to get the message out. And once he has that, he can get the message to the people. Yeah. Now see, it takes connection. You can't do this thing pastoring one church and being in five different assemblies with a movie screen. The biggest joke that the devil's played on America is that outfit right there. And if you've got one in mind, I've got 10 of them in mind all over this country. But here's the problem with that. When you get sick unto death, is video screen preacher coming to take care of you in the hospital and pray for you? Years ago, listen, there used to be a group in this church. They kept saying, Charles Stanley, Charles Stanley, Charles Stanley, Charles Stanley, Charles Stanley. I've never forgot that. He was the greatest thing, drove the best cars, had the best suits. And I thought they were talking about Ric Flair there for a while, but it's Charles Stanley's talking about. And my pastor came here to preach a revival meeting and got up here and said, is the Cadillac coming to Spartanburg region to help you? He said, I didn't think so. He told a story of a woman who had sent money every week to Jerry Falwell, to Liberty University and all that stuff up there. And he said that the funniest thing wasn't that woman died. She left her house to Jerry Falwell. So Jerry Falwell sent two men to Spartanburg to get that house. When they got there, they was met with some lawyers saying, no, you ain't getting this. Mama was not in her right mind signing that, and we've got papers for it. They called Falwell. He said, well, what do you want us to do? He said, come home. Don't worry about it. Hey, listen, people can get caught up with stuff. But I say this, it's that local church with its local people and its local pastor that's going to be able to connect with you like Paul's connecting with them through that pastor Epaphras and able to connect with those people so he could help them. Listen, we had a friend one time that went to one of the big old churches, and she done a lot for me and my wife, and it was Justin at the time, and we was going to do something for her. So we called a big mega church to ask them, what we could possibly do. They said, who is that? She'd only been attending there as a member 10 years. And they didn't have video screen preachers. They had one church with a bunch of people in it. They didn't even know who she was. Don't lose your connection. See, the key element, the number one element, is connection. He said, I would that you knew what conflict I have for you. If I don't know you, I ain't got conflict for you. That's like every week come out here saying, America needs revival. Do we need revival? Sure we do. But I can't revive America. I can't tell America to get revived. But I can tell you, because I'm connected with you. And if we ever going to see, listen, see a church get closer to God, see Christians get closer to God, we're going to have a connection between me and you where I can help you out with it. And listen to this. He says in verse 2 there, he said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Paul gives them a solution here. He says this, you need internal comfort from the Holy Spirit of God that ye might be comforted. How's that going to happen? From somebody known in this Bible as the Comforter, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. When you run into that title for the Holy Spirit, it's in capital C, Comforter, and he's the one provides the comfort. See, when we connect with the Word of God and we connect the Word of God with us, you know what happens then? We connect with Him because He's the one that teaches it to both of us. Once we get that, we get comforted in the fact that God's real and that He has given us something through the Word of God, and that through the Comforter we gain comfort in this world that's not so comfortable no more. As a Christian, you're not at home right now. Listen, you're just passing through. If you ever wonder why you can't really get settled in on this planet, that's the reason why. Your heart's in somewhere else. Hey, listen, Jesus died so that you could have eternal life with Him in heaven, not that you could sit out here on earth and rot away. And everybody that tries to go against that grain winds up finding out something. There's no joy in Mudville then, are there? Hey, listen, I look down at the Word of God, I see this. He said, and to all the riches of the full assurance and stuff like that, it takes an internal comfort by the Holy Spirit of God. But out of the rest of us together, it takes external love from all the believers that help us get this comfort. Because sometimes, listen, we just need each other to help each other out and to be part of each other's lives. Listen, just to help one another out. People use churches nowadays. They think this place is a place where you go blow all your money at that bingo parlor up there. You blow all your money down at that beer joint. And then when you're out of everything, you say, oh, can you help us? That ain't what this is here for. This ain't a welfare office. When people come to me and say, well, y'all don't do nothing to help the hungry. Yeah, we do. But we ain't helping people that's going out and giving the devil all their money and come back and say, well, I need something. Because you know what? You ever take that crowd on, you'll never lose them. You always have to feed them. We give fishing classes, amen. You can catch your own fish and we'll teach you how to clean them too, amen. But this book tells us in Galatians to help they of the household of faith first. If you need it, we ain't going to ask you if you need it. We're going to get it for you. And if we got it, it's yours. Amen, friend. Let's see you mega pastor pull that one off. Mega pastor. Mega pastor. Huh? Listen to me. I found out something about preachers years ago that fooled around with this stuff. If the hearts of the people are not knit together in Christ Jesus, and if the hearts of the people are not spoken from the lips of the pastor in prayer every day, it don't work anyway. So I don't know all my church members, and you need to cut something out then. Possibly that racquetball and golf you do every day. Right. Amen, friend. Now notice this. His solution is an internal comfort from the Holy Spirit, external love from the believers, and a spiritual understanding from fellowship with God Almighty. He points out about to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father of Christ. And by that spiritual understanding, you spend time with God learning about God. So many people have lost their way and got away from the hope of the gospel trying to figure out what the Bible hidden meaning is. You ever met somebody like that? Oh, I know it says this, but the real meaning is hidden and it's this. No, God don't have anything like that. He's not like you at all. What he says he means and what he means he says. This is a literal book unless the context decides otherwise. And God put this thing out here plain for us because he wants to get connected to you. See, a big element getting closer to him is not only a connection between the preacher and the people, but the people and the preacher got to get connected to God. Wouldn't it be a shame for you to get close to me and close to this church and never know God? That'd be a tragedy, wouldn't it? But here, listen, God opened up the door, we can all get close to him. You know, in the Bible, when Jesus was being crucified in that temple that was rent from top to bottom, you know what that signified? That we didn't need a priest anymore. We could all come to him. Why don't we take advantage of that instead of talking about it? Instead of bragging on the fact we can all pray, we can all come to God, why don't we do it? Why don't we come to God and connect with him and get that connection started so that we can connect with a God that loves us instead of trying to figure out ways around getting that connection up? See, that's a key element in getting closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, if you look down to verse 3, it only takes connection, it takes comprehension. And listen, he says in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And when you look at that statement right there in verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, God owns that treasure right there. It's hid in Christ Jesus. And if that thing's hid in Christ Jesus, it's going to take us to comprehend it. And the only way we can comprehend it is through the Holy Spirit of God. How does the Holy Spirit of God communicate to the believer? Oh, well, preacher, I have visions. You need to quit eating pizza so late at night. Well, I know I had a bit. Let me show you something. This book is revelation from God. Complete and final, perfect revelation. When you have a vision, you're saying you had what they had. So if you have a vision, this revelation from God, do I need to put that in my Bible? Wait a minute, then it may not be revelation from God. Get rid of the pizza at night. Don't eat after 7 o'clock. Amen and amen. Take your Tums, amen. Do all that stuff, right? So if that's not extra biblical revelation, and we don't need to do that, what do we need to do? We need to find something the Holy Spirit wrote so we can find out what he said so we know if he's talking to us about it or not. This Bible's written for us, but it's not all written to us. But we can apply the truths of this thing and look at that verse 3 there where he says this thing about in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now listen to this. That comprehension, if you hold your place here at Colossians, look over at John 16, I'm going to show you where you get that at. That comes from one source. So preacher, you are a great Bible preacher and a great Bible expositor and you teach the Bible well. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. But I have a confession to make. It's not me that's doing it. See, in John chapter 16, if you look down here in verse number 7, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. Who's the Comforter? Holy Spirit, right? He said, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. You see that thing right there? Now look over here at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now, he says here, in verse 13, whatsoever you ask him, Father, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my will, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. So how do we communicate with God? Back through the Holy Spirit in prayer, right? But verse 16 says, and I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, how long?
Forever.
So he's going to give us the comforter. He's going to be with us forever. He's going to do all this stuff. Go back over to John 16. Look down at verse 12. We see the comforter's given. He's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And then in verse 12, he says, I've yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you, and he will show you things to come. And how do we know it's the Holy Spirit? Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit of God will take a text that's the Word of God that he penned down by the inspiration of God through these frail human beings, these 39 or 40 men, whatever, and he'll put this text in writing and say, how do we know we got the right one? Whichever one talks more about Jesus, that's the right one. That's how you know. So where'd you get that? Lord, show me that. You know why? I wanted to know. I don't want to win arguments about Bible translations. I want to get closer to the Lord. So I found a book that mentions Jesus the most, the blood of Jesus the most, and I stick with that one. They can argue all that other stuff they want to, but this has the goods. Amen. See, at the end of the day, if you are King James only and only King James, that's great. But if you don't read this book and apply it to your life and let the Lord show it to you, you just like everybody else.
I don't read the Bible every day. I've only read it one time.
You have. Have you got it memorized yet? No takers. I'm not going to ask somebody's perfect. There'll always be one stand up to that, but you ain't perfect either. Amen. Listen, I see the fact it takes comprehension. And who gives you that? The Holy Spirit of God. Now, let me show you something here. If I were the devil, I wouldn't get you to be a bunch of drunks in church. Wouldn't do that. All the liberal churches is like that. All the liberal churches won't speak a word against alcohol because they know all their deacons are a bunch of drunks. We better not have one deacon here that's drunk. Amen and amen. Wake up there and listen to me. But for a fact, if I were the devil, I wouldn't get you drunk. No, you too good a church folk. I'd get you to believe this ain't the word of God. That's what I'd do. Hey, wait a minute, that's what the devil did do, ain't it? Look at verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. That word beguile, boy, there's something about that word. I think I've seen it somewhere in this book before. Have y'all seen it? Let's see if I can find it. It's not in Genesis chapter 1. It's not in Genesis chapter 2. But look at chapter 3 over here. Woo, look here, I found him. Verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. He didn't say, here's some liquor. He didn't say, here, smoke this. He tried to cast doubt on the word of God. First recorded sin in the Bible. The devil's doing it. They fall headlong into sin. And the strangest thing shows up here. Well, Adam, God shows up and said, Adam, who told you all this other stuff? Oh, it's the woman thou gavest me, Lord. You know how she is. Look at verse 13. 13 in the Bible's number for what?
Rebellion.
And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. How did he do it? Did he tempt her with cocaine? Did he tempt her with prescription medicine? Did he tempt her with, laying out a chair? What did he tempt her with? Try to get her not to believe what God said. So if he beguiled her over here, I promise you that there's a 6,000-year pattern of him doing it to everybody else. Go back over here to Colossians. I'll show you this. It takes comprehension, and if you see somebody trying to beguile you out of the Word of God, don't try to follow that person and figure out what they are. Go back to the Word of God and stay where you're supposed to be, Christian. I don't understand how a lot of things are made in this world. I'm a preacher. I don't know how to fix your car. Okay? I don't know. Hope you do, and if you don't, I hope you can find somebody that does. I'm not a home improvement specialist. I can point you in a good direction one. That's right. But I cannot help you with a thing. I can tell you Lowe's probably has what you need or one in lumber place or something like that. And you get a guy like that to help you and you do all that. I couldn't tell you how to run one of them steam cleaners like you women run on floors. I don't steam clean. I've seen it done a time or two, but I'm not an expert on the subject. But what I know is the Bible. I come to the Word of God. That's what I know how to preach. God give me that. That's my gift. I noticed the other week, and y'all were being so good to me and saying all them kind words. None of you said, he changed my tire, because I probably don't even know how to do that anymore. I watched him do it on NASCAR a few times. Boom, it's done. Went up to my cousin's shop. They used the same thing in there. I said, man, I wish I had one of them to take with me on the road. I'd fix everybody's car. Have you back up running in 30 seconds. But listen to this. I'm not going to follow somebody around that's trying to beguile me out of something out of Jesus. Listen, when somebody tries to beguile you, what they're trying to do is thoroughly deceive you about everything in a very subtle way. What did the Bible say that serpent showed up as? Subtle. What was he trying to do? He didn't jump in there and say, hey, Eve, I'm the devil. I'm here to wreck the human race. He just come in and rung the bell of maybe God didn't say that. Are you sure God said it? So listen, we don't follow around people like that. We need comprehension. We don't care how they try to correct the Bible. We want to see how you believe the Bible. I'm not worried about how somebody says, well, now there's other books of the Bible didn't get added yet. And you know why? They didn't belong here. And listen, I read this one time where it said that Adam is the book of Adam. I read that thing and I thought, this is the biggest bunch of junk I've ever seen in my life. It was written as if it was scripture said, and Adam got hungry after they walked out of the Garden of Eden. I'd have never guessed that. And said that he looked at Eve and said, Eve, what are we going to eat? And she said, I don't know. I believe that part too. Amen and amen. Some of y'all so henpecked you won't laugh at nothing, will you? Listen, I look at this thing and I see that and I see somebody trying to beguile you and it says with enticing words. Listen, if you're going to have comprehension, you're going to have understanding of the Word of God, you're going to have that thing through God giving it to you and you having fellowship with Him. You got to connect with Him and you need to comprehend Him from His book. Colossae had two things that helped them, and he says in verse number 5. He said, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding, number one, your order, and number two, the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. They had order at Colossae. They did things right. You ever notice that 1 Corinthians 16 chapters long, and it's mainly a rebuke on their behavior and their practice? Colossae didn't have that problem. He had to tell the church at Corinth, let things be done decently in order. Colossae, he didn't have to tell it, dude. They had order. Listen, when we're doing things for the Lord, I've heard people say we can't use a program. I don't believe in a program either, but I know this. You better program the Holy Spirit all week long in prayer and see what He'd have you do in that thing and then do it. And that's whether you print the outline or your hymnal in the book or not, or in the bulletin, I mean. Whatever you do there. Because I do know this. God is in decency and in order. And when we look at decency and order, they had order there. And they also, it said, had steadfastness. They believed and tried to live what they believed. Would to the Lord if we'd all comprehend that we'd not only believe what's preached here, but we'd go out and live it too. And listen, if what's preached here goes contrary to this book, we'll go with this book instead of what's preached here. Now, ain't that a sight to hear? Used to, listen, in the old days, preachers say, I'm right and it don't matter. That's a cult. The Bible's right and that's what matters. I've been wrong once or twice. My wife caught both of them. But I'm going to tell you something. If you can't admit you're wrong about something every once in a while and see that you're at fault, you have moved far away from God and you need some comprehension to get you back closer. And the only person that's ever going to do that for you is the Holy Spirit of God. We got the element there of comprehension. We've got the element of connection. And we get down to verse 6, we have something called cultivation. Big word. Right? Cultivation means this. Cultivation is that you work at something for it to happen. Okay? If I was going to be one of them UFC guys, you know what I'd do? I wouldn't pick roses every day and say, ow, that little thorn hurt me. And then try to go in a ring with some monster that's looking back across me, got tattoos on his eyeballs and hair growing out of his ears wanting to destroy me. Well, he'd be worse than them thorns right off the bat, wouldn't he? You know what I'd do? I would stand somewhere and let somebody kick me in the stomach about 50 times a day as hard as they could so I could stand that stuff. And then the second half of the day, I'd have him kick me in the legs or an arm or something. By the time I went in there, he'd kick me. I'd be like, that's a feather, man. You kick like a girl. Right? I watched him train that guy the other day, that Conor McGregor. And there was a guy standing over top of him. He'd lay flat on his stomach. He'd just hit him in the stomach as hard as he could. Guy never flinched. He does it every day. You know why? Because when he gets in the ring with that guy with them hair out of his ears and looking at him and ain't got no teeth, he wants to be able to take that guy's best shot. Yeah. You and I that don't do that every day, one punch and we're out. See, you ever had the wind knocked out of you? That's all you got to do to win a boxing match or something like that. All it is a 10 count. How many knows it takes more than 10 seconds to get your breath back when you get it knocked out of you? First time that ever happened to me, I was playing football. I thought I was dying. I couldn't breathe. Oh, Coach went over and said, hold it still, and pulled me up and dangled me like this. And you'll be all right. That's it. I breathe that oxygen, man. And then here come the play. Ow, you know. I was a little short, fat kid playing junior high football. Didn't know what was going on anyway. All I knew is everybody hit me. But I know this much. If you're going to go and do what's right, it takes cultivation to do that thing, whatever it is. If you're going to be if the NFL's fixing to start up, if you're going to be an NFL player, you can't listen. You can't grow your big old hair out and say, I ain't going to pledge the flag. That ain't what football players do. If you're going to be ESPN and have good ratings, you can't talk about politics. You need to talk about sports. I'm trying to help them. That's why their ratings are dropping. They don't understand this. We don't care what you think about politics. If we wanted that, we'd turn that on CNN and Fox. Otherwise, we'd turn over there for Entertainment and Sports Network. Get that. It doesn't mean you can read minds, ESPN. That's not what that means. But what, listen, if I was going to be a football player, while you sit in this church and tomorrow you go to your job, I'd be out there tomorrow throwing a football and putting on pads and tackling people and hitting somebody and doing all that. Wouldn't you do that? That's what you do, right? You cultivate that thing. If I was going to be a pro wrestler, I would go in that ring and I'd learn how to run them ropes and do all that stuff and learn how to wrestle. If I was going to be a construction worker, I'd learn how to put things together. If I was going to be in the demolition crew, I'd learn how to tear them apart. But I'd learn that thing. You got to cultivate that. If I was going to work at McDonald's, I'd go in there and learn how to flip burgers. You've got to learn this stuff and cultivate it. Now watch verse 6. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The element of cultivation starts with two things. And he basically states them in that verse. Here it is. Here's a plain, everyday thing of it. Don't just talk, walk. Secondly, live what you preach. If everybody in this building would do that, boy, we might see God, we might get real close to God and be up under him for something. See, a lot of times, people are so willing to point out the sins of others not doing right, they forget it's their sin for pointing that out because they're not looking at Christ. They're not cultivating a relationship with Jesus Christ. They are cultivating what we'll get into legalism in the rest of this chapter. See, if you follow all the rules and don't know the ruler, you're in bad shape. And when I say that you need to live what you preach, I believe this. I believe that the gospel you preach, you live of that gospel. And when you tell people, listen, I'm a preacher of the gospel, you're a preacher of the gospel all the time. When you tell somebody you're a Christian, that's not just Sunday morning. You're a Christian 7 days a week. You are that, you that thing all the time. See, what you do on your job shows what you really are. What you are behind closed doors is what you really are. And if we're going to live for Jesus Christ, we got to live according to the Word of God. We got to have ourselves fastened in on the things of God and cultivate a relationship with Him and develop that thing. Now, when we use the word cultivation, that refers to a gardening type term as well. And you look in verse 7, he says, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You'll notice right in the middle of that thing, he says, as you have been taught. I personally believe this. A lot of people don't know, and they get up and they quote pastor churches and teach people, and they don't know what they're talking about because they've never been taught themselves. I heard a guy preaching a while back. And he had this book, and he pulled a paperback book out and said, my seminary professor wrote this. It's on spiritual whatever. I forgot what the subject was. Might have been on being a spiritual hobo for Jesus, for all I know, but whatever it was. He said, this is what he said. We're going to go through this book every week, and we're going to learn these principles so we'll be better Christians. He wasn't in a Methodist church. He wasn't in a Lutheran church. He went down to Tabernacle of Love or the community center. He's in a Baptist church saying that. I said, my goodness, have we gotten so far away from God that we're trying to bring in paperback books written by people who are not under the inspiration of God to teach them the principles of the inspired word? Let me tell you something. We got this book. It does show us the things that God wants us to have. We're going to chunk the paperback and stay with the leatherback. Amen. We're going to stay right here in the Word of God. We're going to stay with all 66 books and build right here and cultivate here so we can be rooted and built up where, according to that verse? In Him, in Jesus Christ. And He says, established in the faith there as you have been taught. We want to see what the Holy Spirit of God has to teach us, and we want to cultivate on those bases. Now, here's something here. He says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. If you're going to cultivate a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've got to learn to abound in thanksgiving. When somebody tries to be a blessing to you, don't say, no, you can't do that. Say, thank you, Jesus. Now get that thing. Back when I first got saved, boy, I made more money than I made in my entire life. Had it made. Then I lost my job. I was driving home depressed and thinking, oh God, what am I going to do? Do you hear what I said? Oh God, what am I going to do? He let me know. He's got the whole thing worked out. And then the next job I got was this one. It paid $100 a week. Pregnant wife, handicapped son, hungry mouth on the front of my face. What am I going to do, God? Oh, He's got it. And I learned back then to cultivate some things. When these preachers come along in our church now, I get to tell them, you be all right. God take care of you. So that's easy for you to say. Church takes care of you. Yeah. See, you cultivate this thing 20 years, you get a harvest sometimes. Sometimes you get to see people get saved, see folks get right with God, and see God take care and pull provision out of nothing. That's God. This bunch, it's all prosperity gospel. Let me tell you something. You know, they think that poor people are the biggest failures in the world. But yet Jesus Christ went after the poor, not to get them rich, to get them saved. Have you ever thought about that? Next time you watch a TV preacher and he's begging for your money, you think about that thing. That Christ sent the gospel so the poor could hear it. Ain't that something? Ain't you glad you was poor when He got to you? Look at this, it takes cultivation. He says you're going to be rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So what you're going to do in cultivation is take what you learn out of this Bible and grow your own garden. I'm not a great gardener, and I've never been a farmer, and I never lived on a farm. We had chickens when I was a kid, and my grandpa had some corn and some watermelons, and I love all that stuff. But I did catch a little bit of things reading behind people and talking with other individuals that have lived on a farm. There's one thing they all know. You can't get nothing to grow except you go out there and mess that dirt up. Once they get it, what they call plowed, there's a reason why they do that. You know why? You can't drop seed on hard ground. It won't work. You know what happens to it? It dies. It shows life for a little bit, then it dies. You got to cultivate that ground. When you get that ground turned up like that, you don't just go out there and throw seed everywhere. You can't have corn rows for the aliens to land on and make a pattern out there if they're not good rows, can you? You do know that's fake, right? So how do you know? It was on TV. But you go out there and you take and you plow straight lines and put these big grooves in the line, them rows. And then once you get them in there, you go back and drop seed every 12 inches or 15 inches, whatever the, how many is it, 12 or 15, or depends on what it is. Varies on what it is. Drop all that stuff out there, and then you go back and push the dirt back over it. So how are you going to find them plants? Don't worry, they'll find you. Through some miracle, God has made them plants to where once you put that seed in the ground and you put water on, guess what the next thing happens is? This little thing just starts coming up like that. You know what that's from? Cultivation. You know how your grandma and grandpa used to live? Tell you how your grandma and grandpa used to live. They didn't have a convenience store right down the road that was open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They didn't have grocery stores that was open on Sundays. But yet they could have food every day. So how'd they do it? They cultivated a ground, and they went out there and worked that ground and cultivated that garden or that farm or whatever they had. And when it come harvest time, they didn't eat it all that day. They done something called canning. Have you ever heard of that? And I've always wondered this. You ever wonder these things you never have got an answer for? They call it canning, but you put it in glass. Did they used to put it in cans at one time and we switched to glass? Don't know. Again, not the farmer. But I know this. They survived. And they ate good every day. They ate like these restaurants feed you every day back then. We're not having all them restaurants. Listen, a meat and three vegetables, son, that was breakfast to them. Get up in the morning, having big cat heads out there with the butter dripping off of them. At least some portion of a pig and some kind of carb laying there for you. Or two kinds. Grits and toast. I mean, you'd have all that stuff. So how'd they get all that? They fed the pig, amen. They done something. They cultivated the ground. They raised the chickens. Well, come dinner time, what they going to do? They going to have a hamburger. Where are they going to get the ham from? They going to get it from the cow, dummy. And they going to cultivate that cow. And they going to make sure she has grass to eat, water to drink, and that nobody's out there beating up their cow. And then that evening, they're going to have porterhouse steaks. You know where them comes from? Porter's house. Amen and amen. And what they're going to do is they're going to feed that cow, make sure she's good and fat and has everything she wants to and that she don't have to walk around very much. And then when it comes time to cultivate that cow, they get the big steaks out of her. When that happens, you bring that stuff back to the table and you eat good every meal. But that cultivation took work. It didn't take, well, I'll just speak it and make it happen. And if you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, you just ain't going to say to yourself, I'm going to do this. No, you got to cultivate that thing. Not your salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God. But that cultivation, that relationship, is how much you sow in that thing and how much you spend in it. Do you know right now that I know what my wife's favorite candy is? So how'd you find that out? I spent time with her till I seen what she kept getting the most. So what did that do for you? That got me a lot of sugar, honey. That's what that got me because I bring home the right candy now. Right? We can talk all that stuff, but if you don't know nothing about your wife, chances are you're in bad shape. Know what her favorite color is? Are you listening to me? So how you find that out? I spend time with her. Find out what she does. If I'm gonna know something about the Lord, I want to spend time with him and cultivate my relationship with him. If I'm going to get down there in verse number 6, and as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, I'm going to have to be rooted and built up in him. Not books about him, not books about the Bible, but the Bible itself, and be built up in here. Listen, let's go out and grow us a garden. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we do love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for the time.